closed yet, but I think we sold it.
Good morning. It is 9 a.m., August 24th, 2009. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We have a single agenda special meeting called for this time and place. This is Kevin Kramer along with Commissioners Kalk and Clark. The single item on the agenda is in my portfolio. So, I move the Public Service Commission submit a request to the Emergency Commission for authorization to assess an additional $50,000 application fee under North Dakota Century Code 49-22-22 in TransCanada Keystone Pipeline LP siting application case number PU06421.
Second.
What this is as you know, we assess a filing fee for siting various types of energy conversion and transmission facilities. That siting fee is placed into a special fund that we then use for our processing of the application and then the siting of the and completion of the facilities. In the case of the Keystone Pipeline project, the filing fee was $100,000. We, of course, hired a third-party inspector, KLJ, engineering firm providing those services for the commission to be on site and provide some spot checks and make sure that the company is abiding by the order. This is a very large project, as you know. It covers over 600 landowners' land, several counties, all greenfield, and the project, because of the challenging weather last year and in some very tough winter, has taken a little longer than they expected it to. The $100,000 filing fee, original filing fee, has been used up, and so we are going to the Emergency Commission to request the authority to ask for another or to request another $50,000 from the company for continuing the inspections throughout this construction season. We have informed, of course, the company of this request. They have had no objection to it, so we anticipate that it should go well.
The money that's associated with this is actually already being expended from the commission. It's coming out of the commission's budget. But we felt it was to the degree that we're taking a risk, it's a good risk to take. Things like the Pembina Gorge issue that happened here within the last few months, I think, have proven that it's been a good thing to have a third-party inspector, our eyes and boots on the ground. I think I take some comfort from the fact that, and I expect, although you can never guess, that the Emergency Commission will treat this favorably. State law actually contemplates this actual procedure happening, so it's not as if our request is outside of what's contemplated in the law. There's a specific guidance for us to go to the Emergency Commission if more siting money is needed.
Do we have a date when the Emergency Commission is scheduled to meet?
We do, which is why we're in a special
meeting. That's why we're in a special meeting, correct? Yeah. I mean, that's
right.
The driver why it's today.
It's due at noon today, the
okay.
application, but the...
I think we should put that out there for the record.
Yeah.
That's why it has to be today, because the deadline is noon today.
Yeah, it's all on the record, yeah.
And the Emergency Commission hearing is September 1.
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anything else? If not, ends the meeting. Any questions, Dave?
Yeah, just why is it put in state law that you have to go to the Emergency Commission?
Well,
it just seems a little incongruous.
Well, I think it's an appropriate checks and balance. It's just one more set of eyes, that one more. Having policymakers, quite frankly, as an administrative agency, having policymakers sort of check those things and back you up, it provides the appropriate cover to the taxpayer. Now, keeping in mind, these aren't tax dollars, but it also provides an appropriate check and balance for the company so that, it may seem sometimes a little bit bureaucratic or cumbersome, but at the same time, I think it's an appropriate oversight.
With the initial siting fee, we don't have to go to the Emergency Commission. As that comes in, we can expend it as we see fit. It's just if that doesn't quite do the trick as far as the total amount of money, then we've got to the second step, which Kevin's right. I think it is appropriate. I mean, you wouldn't want to have an administrative agency with just unchecked authority to go out and assess fees against utility companies without having someone else look at it.
There's no guarantee that there will always be three such responsible people in this place. You know, actually, it is kind of interesting that with all of the siting fees that we've taken in as a result of, you know, the increased development activity in North Dakota's energy industry, this is the first time that we've ever expended probably more than 10%, maybe more than 5% of those fees. But this is an unusual project in that it was greenfield. It's 218 miles. It's, you know, several counties and 600 landowners and 30 inches of pipe, and so a 30-inch pipe. So it's a pretty big project. So it's appropriate that this one had a little more oversight than others have.
So, what is their percentage
of completion? Boy, Pat, do you know what that? If you were to put a percentage on it, it's probably more, you know.
The last major thing that they did was to work on these sinkholes.
Yeah.
Those are that reclamation is complete. There's just a little bit of cleanup.
Yeah, if you look at their some of the reports, you know, construction reports will get actually affix a number. I don't recall that they affix numbers to theirs, you know, where
I don't think so either.
X percent complete, but if you when we look through them, I mean, it's just like cleanup work here and there. It's outside of the Pembina Gorge work. It's cleaning up, taking out planks and roads and things like that.
So basically the project is pretty much completed.
Well, the pipe is in the ground, and that part of it's completed. The reclamation piece of it, though, and keep in mind that just because it's all cleaned up and, you know, soil is put back in place and topsoil is respread and planted, you know, little things can occur here and there. Besides, we hope no more large sinkholes, but a little settling here and there. We want to make sure landowners are satisfied and access is appropriate, and all of those other things that can actually linger for a while.
Right. I mean, you could get noxious weed growth or something like that a year down the line, but the company still has a responsibility to come in and take care of it.
So I got it clear then. Does that sound familiar?
The $100,000 has been spent. We've actually begun spending more than that out of the commission's general fund budget, our operating budget. Hopefully, we can replenish that with this fee that's being assessed to the company. Les Tony said we were very comfortable taking the risk that the emergency commission may deny this request. Although, if they do, we will probably, we'll probably reassess how much of our operating budget we spend on this. But it's important from two standpoints. The most important thing is that it's important to the landowners and to the state's, frankly, environmental and cultural resource obligations to make sure that this is done properly, and it is our charge to do that. And to the degree we're able to do it with the funds we have, we will. But it would be far better if this $50,000 is also appropriated. For you, Dave, all day.
I'll only take a book. I was not able to attend the meeting on Friday.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Grain elevator, did you reach any consensus, or is it a lot
of... Yes, we did, as a matter of fact. We all agree that there's a challenge. Beyond that, the consensus is yet to be determined. We do have some next steps actually planned. It was I will say this, and is Commissioner Clark's portfolio, and he'll want to comment as well, and as will perhaps Brian. But I found the discussion to be very helpful. In fact, I found it to be more engaging than I even expected it to be. There were some folks from industry, which the meeting was largely designed for commissioners and key legislators, but it was helpful to have both especially commodity groups represented that have varying opinions about how much protection there needs to be and ought to be, and how that protection, what form that protection ought to take in terms of mitigating risk. It was a lively discussion, and I found it very interesting and helpful. But we do have some next steps. We basically put all of the what we thought were options on the table, and discussed them, and now expect to have another meeting with even other stakeholders before we then move forward, as well as an open comment period.
Yeah, Kevin's right. I thought it was a great discussion, too. And we had everyone from folks who think that our current protections are too high right now and discourage new processing companies and facilities from opening, to folks who thought that our protections are too low and need to be raised, which would then work against those folks who are, you know, trying to open up new companies. So, but it was very good discussion, very respectful, and I think very productive too. Our next steps are that we have compiled a list of different suggestions for where we go from here, and it's everything from choosing to maintain the status quo, all the way to treating processing facilities a little bit differently, perhaps changing how we bond. Even some discussions about, you know, is there a role for the Bank of North Dakota to become kind of a bonder of last resort in cases where a processing facility is opening up. Discussions about other parts of state law and what might be available for the commission to garner as trustee when there's an insolvency, so that producers have more protection and more assets available to them through the trusteeship process in an insolvency. So it was very wide-ranging discussion. We've listed all of the ideas, almost like a brainstorming session that people have come up with, and then we're going to be compiling all those and putting them into a letter that we'll be sending to producer groups, to commodity groups, to legislators, others involved in the ag industry, and getting their feedback on them, and, you know, telling us if they think different options are good, bad, ugly, whatever, and we'll see if out of that process any sort of consensus forms, because as we've said, the goal through this is to get some sort of consensus within the ag community, not have either the commission or the legislature way out in front of where the ag community is and forcing something on them that they don't want.
Well, I would just say that for me it was a very good discussion too. That we put it in context of the number of insolvencies we had this year. It was 3. And you look back to the early 80s, 2 or 3 a year is about what we've always had. It's just that these were such volumes with money that it kind of caught people's attention. 1986, there was another spike, which tied back to some economic downturn. What I think is significant is the way we move ag products and process them in our state is going to continue to change and expand, that these bigger facilities moving things farther places. So that's where I really think the bonding level, I think it needs to be tweaked a little bit. I heard that there may be a consensus developing of, we base a bond on throughput, actually what the elevators can store. I heard that a little bit, but we'll have to wait and see that all flushes out, because no sooner did we get back to our desk, we also had a bunch of emails telling us that was a bad idea too. But that's where I kind of am at, is that the future of ag is changing, and we do need to probably look at a better way to address the current situation.
You know, the distinction between a grain warehouse or a traditional elevator and a processing facility is one that creates such different conditions that it's difficult to put them all in the same basket, if you will, and that was fairly clear. But then among processors, there are differences. I mean, on the one hand, you have a startup organic mill, and you, on the other hand, you have a million-dollar or million-gallon ethanol facility or cooking oil facility, or you might have an international company from China that's looking at, or India that's looking at putting a facility, in North Dakota. All of those things, all of those situations are very different, and we want to be helpful in the sense that we want to provide the adequate protection to producers and marketers, while at the same time not putting up a barrier to investment, either by multinational or international companies or startup entrepreneurs right here in North Dakota. So it's an important balance to try and strike, and that's the goal.
Should note our ag commissioner was there too.
He certainly was, and I noted how smart he is compared to me. But he was very good. I think, in many respects, we all were rather enlightened. I know I certainly was, and it was a lively debate from time to time, which I always enjoy. We have not set it, but we will be scheduling another meeting, and the next meeting will involve processors. We want to hear, some of their specific remarks, because that is one group that has not been at the table as yet.
The next deadline for progress is probably October 1. The letter that we're going to be sending out to these groups detailing the different brainstorming options that we arrived at will go out here in the next few weeks. And everyone pretty well indicated that if we gave them until October 1, that the commodity groups would be meeting in the month of September and their boards would be able to give us some direction on what they're thinking.
Very good. Super. Thank
right.
you.
Thanks.
Go, Favre.
I've always loved Brett Favre. He's always been my favorite.